So this week we get a special treat. We are going to welcome MYF and Daniel and Allie Mast, and they're going to share some stories about their experience during SWAP earlier this summer.
So a few weeks ago, 9 youth and 3 sponsors, me, Daniel, and Wendell Landis, traveled in a 15-passenger van to Hindman, Kentucky, which is about 7.5 hours away from here, for a week of service and learning with SWAP. And if you don't know what SWAP is, it's an organization that's associated with MCC, stands for Sharing with Appalachian People. It was a week full of productivity and fun. The adults we worked with spoke very highly of how the youth worked and interacted together. And we also want to thank the church for their support in allowing us to have this experience. So the youth are going to share a little bit about their highlights of the trip, and you'll get to see some pictures. And they also request that you laugh at all of their jokes.
I worked on a house that needed new roofing. On Wednesday, one of our biggest construction challenges was a chimney that we had to remove. The tin roofing was bent up against the chimney and tar had been poured all around the chimney to secure it. I worked all morning peeling the tar up as well as digging the nails up underneath the tar. You can imagine how dirty it was. Once I finally got the tin away from the chimney, I left the actual removal of the chimney to Pete, the SWAP staffer helping us with construction because, let's face it, we had no idea what we were doing. Every day, we would at some point find ourselves full out singing as we worked. Our most common anthem was Mamma Mia. When all of us only know the first verse and the chorus, it quickly turned into a very long day and week for Daniel. On our last day, May, the homeowner, commented on how the whole holler or group of houses we were surrounded by could hear us singing, and they all told May how great the singing girls on the roof were. And Isaac, too.
So when we worked on the roof, we had to pull up the tin first, and then there was like these horizontal boards under that, and under the boards, it was like filled with wasp nests, and so like every time we would peel up a board, we'd have people like standing on the sides with cans of wasp spray ready to just like spray them down. Luckily, no one got stung. And then also we did a lot of like hammering in the nails, and one time Pete asked me to help him with some hammering, and I was pretty flattered. I was like, okay. So I went up and I was ready to show my skills, and I was just hammering away, and Pete was like, Cora, you're hitting that nail like lightning. And I was like, thanks. And he goes, never in the same place twice.
So Allie, Wendell, Zoe, and I worked at a second job site. Victoria, the youth sponsor at Wilmore, a town about 2 hours away from Hindman, also helped us out after she finished at her first job site. While Allie and Victoria repaired siding on the trailer, Zoe, Wendell, and I built the family wooden stairs to replace the stacked wooden cinder blocks leading up to the trailer. When we finished all of these tasks, Victoria and I power washed the building. This was definitely my favorite job because we got completely soaked, and it felt amazing to turn a trailer covered in brown-green mildew into its original white.
All right, so I'm going to talk a little bit how coal has affected the people that live in Hindman. So in Hindman, Kentucky, coal is a way of life, or at least it used to be. The coal industry gave many people jobs, but at a price. It had the ability to control nearly every aspect of the people's lives and existed only to make money. The coal industry was ruthless, destroying houses, graveyards, and cutting off the tops of mountains to get more coal, and there was nothing that the people could do about it. It was the only source of income. There's a person we met whose grandma stood up against the coal company, destroying her house. Despite her efforts, her house was destroyed, but the coal company had to compensate. Now that most of the coal industry is up and left from Hindman, it's in a bad shape. Now there are very little jobs, and it is an extremely poor area. There were 6 people living in the small house that my group worked on, a grandma, her son and daughter, and 3 grandchildren. The son was only one lucky enough to have a job, and he worked at the local grocery store. It opened my eyes to see how drastically different people live in the United States. I didn't even realize what poverty was until I saw it up close.
Something I really enjoyed was meeting a luthier on our free day. A luthier, for those of you who don't know, I didn't, is basically someone who makes wooden instruments by hand, like violins, guitars, and mandolins. The luthier we visited specializes in Appalachian dulcimers, mandolins, and guitars, and he uses local Kentucky woods to make them. He has a really cool program where he works with people who are addicted to opioids, teaching them to make instruments. We learned from him that something about working with your hands uses the same part of the brain as opioids, and it serves as a kind of substitute to addiction. It also gives people a skilled job making something unique to their culture. He explained that this helps bring in more jobs and small businesses that aren't coal or restaurant jobs, and gives them something really cool to be proud of. The small business aspect is really awesome, because it means that the economy is influenced by people who live and care about the area, as opposed to people from far away investing in coal who don't care about the people or the environment.
May Mayoma, or sometimes Naomi, was the homeowner of one of the houses we worked on throughout the week. She managed to meet some of our stereotypes, being a widow of a coal miner who had died of cancer, and the head of a huge mismatched family full of kids, grandkids, stepchildren, and honorary members. But at the same time, she shattered countless more stereotypes as a hospitable, loving grandmother, a master decorator, and a truly amazing person. In reality, she was the one servicing us by giving us an inside look to the life we had easily forgotten existed in our privileged America. The time and conversations we shared with her were unforgettable and priceless.
So every day after work, we would do some activity around Hindman. We had one shorter work day, which Rylan will talk about more, on which we got to travel a little farther. I had fun doing all the activities, but a few super fun ones included a farmer's market, where some played instruments and there was a tent where you could spin a wheel to get tokens to spend at the market by doing exercise or answering nutritional questions. I got two cucumbers, a jar of honey, and an interesting piece of wood with which I made these earrings for doing 6 burpees. Another activity I enjoyed was just hanging around the church playing games and sports. Some highlights of these include Truth or Truth, otherwise known as Conversation, as well as many rounds of Would You Rather, Psychiatrist, and Knockout. On our final day, we also got the chance to swim in a creek after much haranguing of our sponsors. It was really pretty.
Okay, on Thursday, after we went to the Luthery, we drove to an extension center of the University of Kentucky. The bird specialist there showed us different eagles, falcons, and owls, all of whom who had disabilities. For an example, he showed us a juvenile bald-head eagle that had lost part of its wings, and he let me hold an American kestrel, yeah. After the presentation, he took us out to pick and eat blueberries, which ended in a catastrophic encounter with poison ivy. After we finished frantically scrubbing our legs with soap and water, we drove up a mini mountain and took lots of pictures. Then we drove to a restaurant for dinner and afterwards stopped at an ice cream place. We shared our highs and lows of the day, then drove back to church.